Welcome, Facebook people and Congregation of Faith Fellowship. This morning, I call this end time survival peace with God because I don't like to say I'm going to start a series, because as soon as I say I'm going to start a series called End Time Survival, the Holy Spirit throws a wrench in it. So I'm telling you that we are going to tentatively start a series called End Time Survival with this first message called Peace with God, but you got to allow the Holy Spirit to derail that if he so desires. Amen. When we say peace with God, you cannot have peace with God, or you cannot have the peace of God until you have peace with God. And peace with God comes from knowing Jesus Christ. Amen. We are living in a crazy world right now. Would everybody agree with that? And there's a lot of turmoil in the world, and there's a lot of people who right now do not know what the peace of God or peace with God is. And so I want to just talk about this a little bit, but we're going to kind of move into an area because every one of us are human, and even though we're saved, we are subject to fear, anxiety, and that robs our peace of God. And so I want to talk about the peace of God and then talk about what I feel the Lord is wanting us to meditate on to keep ourselves in that peace with God. Amen. Psalm 29:11, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. And so we see that the source of peace is God. Amen? The source of peace is God. If you remember when Jesus was born, the angels came and announced his birth. Peace on earth, they said, right? When Jesus came, the angels announced peace on earth. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace, right? And so you cannot separate peace from God. Peace comes from God. The Lord will bless his people with peace. In Psalm 119:165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Boy, do we ever need this verse in the world right now? Do we ever need it on Facebook? Amen. Do we ever need it on social media? Because everybody's ticked off at everybody, and everybody gets offended at everybody, and you got to walk around on eggshells or be politically correct because somebody's going to get offended with something. But great peace have they which love the law of God, and nothing shall offend them. Amen. When you love the Word of God and you stay in the Word of God, you are able to let these things roll off of you. Man, we read the back of the book, talking about the law of the Lord, the Word of God. We read the back of the book. We know how it's going to end. So just shake it off, amen, and don't get offended so that it robs your peace. You know, when you get offended, it robs your peace. Well, you don't know what he said to me, or you don't know what she did to me, you know. The only person you're hurting is yourself. We want the peace of God. We want peace with God. And so that's what it's all about. Now, Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee." Perfect peace is what I want. I don't want a little bit of peace. I want perfect peace. Don't you? Perfect peace. Think about that. Perfect peace. Perfect peace. And how do we get perfect peace? By keeping our mind on the Lord. Amen. By keeping our... You know, it's pretty hard to keep your mind on the Lord while you're watching television, unless it's a Christian show. I'm not ditzing your TV. I watch it too. But our goal should be to have the peace of God, and we have to keep our mind on the Lord. In Isaiah 48:18, "Oh, that you had hearkened unto my commandment, then you would have peace as a river and righteousness as the waves of the sea." Can you just picture that for a minute? A calm, smooth river, peace. And then righteousness. You know, waves of the sea are way up there, right? They go up and they go back down. They go up and they go back down. And so our righteousness is high and the peace is calm. And that's the picture that God has. And when we hearken to his commandments, we have righteousness. And we have peace. Amen. Now, before we go any farther, I want to do something because I didn't pray before, so I want to pray. got ahead of myself. But when we pray, I want you to do something for me this morning. I want you to just lift one hand up, and we're going to pray for the peace of God, okay? Because I got a feeling there may be somebody here who doesn't feel the peace of God right now. So let's just lift a hand up, close your eyes, and just pray with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, we invite your peace here. You promised that we can have peace. You said we can have peace. You said that it was for me as a Christian, and so I ask for the peace of God to come into my heart, into my mind, and into my life right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. That feels good, doesn't it? Amen. John 14:27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be," what's that word? Afraid, right? Neither let it be afraid. You know, everybody's like, this pandemic, or as Elizabeth phrased the term, plandemic, right? You know, this plandemic has a purpose of bringing fear into the hearts. And Christians should not be afraid. Jesus said he's going to leave peace with us. The Prince of Peace came, and he is leaving peace with you. He's leaving peace with me. And it's not the kind of peace the world gives. They have fun and distraction. We're talking about a peace that passes understanding. And so he said, "Do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You know, after the resurrection, one of the first things Jesus did when he popped in a room, and I'm sure he had to do that because people don't just pop in the middle of your living room, through the walls. It was, "Pop, peace be unto you," you know, because they're, right, freaking out. And so Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He's leaving peace with us. He's telling us not to be afraid. And then in John 16:33, he says, "These things I've spoken unto you, that you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation." Now, this is not talking about the great tribulation. He's just talking about problems. You know, going through some rough times, having some tears. You're going to have problems, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I love that phrase, be of good cheer. It has a double meaning. Of course, he's telling us, don't be sad. But also remember, when Jesus says that, he's imparting things, right? He's imparting peace to you. And so he's saying, be of good cheer. He's giving you good cheer. Get happy. Just go ahead and get happy. Just go ahead and put on a smile. Just go ahead and giggle a little bit. Why? Because I have overcome the world. Amen. This same phrase was used by Paul when they were on the ship, if you remember the story. The ship had been battered by this storm. Paul said, "I warned you not to go, but you wouldn't listen to me." These guys had thrown everything overboard, including their food, and all hope was gone. And Paul comes up to him and says, "Be of good cheer, for I have heard from the Lord this night, and none of us are going to die," you know. And boy, they probably wanted to smack old Paul, you know. Here they are, we're about to die, and this guy's going, "Be of good cheer." Jesus shows up, and they seen him crucify, and they're behind locked doors, because they think they're next. And Jesus shows up and says, "Be of good cheer." God wants us to not be looking like Christians have been baptized in lemon juice. He wants us to have happiness and joy and peace, because he has overcome the world. Amen. He is victor, and he's coming again. Be of good cheer. Hallelujah. All right. And then finally, Philippians 4:7, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus." When you say keep it, it means hold it in restriction. Not let it get out of control. Have you ever seen people who let their kids get out of control? Okay, that's what some people's emotions get. They get all weirded out. "Oh my God, what are we going to do?" Right? They're like that child that's out of control. But the peace of God, which passes understanding, is going to keep your heart and keep your mind. Going to keep it under control. You're not going to freak out. You're not going to panic. You're not going to worry, "Oh my gosh, what am I going to do?" You're going to wait on God, because he is our peace. Amen. Now, it's good to hear all this, Brother Roger, but how do I do it? Give me something practical today that I can take out next week, next month, and that I can use. And our text really this morning is Romans 5:1. That was just the introduction. I hope you weren't hungry today. No, it's not going to be that long, actually. Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know you guys have been around Faith Fellowship for a while. You've heard me say this many times. If you see wherefore or therefore, ask what it's there for, right? And the reason you have to say that is because man put these chapter breaks, and so we start at chapter whatever, but really, this is a conjunction to all of chapter 4, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And so you have to understand, well, what's he been talking about in chapter 4, amen? Well, let me just tell you, I didn't put it in my notes, we'll get back to it. He's talking about how Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. He's talking about how Abraham was promised to have a child in his old age, and he looked at the conditions around him, being 100, and Sarah being 99, and he had the audacity to take God at his word when in the natural, God's promise was impossible. Amen. Have you ever felt like God's promise is impossible? Well, it may be good for somebody else, God, but you don't know what I'm going through, right? But Abraham believed God, and so therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's go back. Let's look at the text where Abraham believed God. It's from Genesis 15:16. It says, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Righteousness. Now, when you say righteousness to someone who's a sinner, one of two things are going to happen. They're going to start squirming in their seat, or they're going to blow you off and say, hey, I don't believe all that stuff, right? But for a child of God, it is our aspiration to walk holy before the Lord. If you're truly born again, you want to please God. You want to be holy. But, you know, we sin. Sometimes we fall short. All sin and fall short of the glory of God. Sometimes we blow it. We have a temper. We feel jealousy, envy, pride, arrogance, all these things. And so we look at our circumstances and we say, well, God, that may work for that guy, but they don't, you know, they don't know me like you know me, and I do this or I do that, you know. But it's not about what I do. It's about what I believe. Amen. Abraham believed the promise of God. He believed that God was able to give him a son, even though he was 100, Sarah was 99, and God accounted that as righteousness. Now, when we say counted or accounted, that's an accounting term. How many of you guys have ever had accounting? If you have, I'm sorry for you. I didn't enjoy it. I like math, but, you know, having told chapters of how you're going to deal with a nickel just annoyed the daylights out of me. But, you know, you got this little T thing in accounting, kind of like a cross, and on one side you got credits, on the other side you got debits, right? You know, a debit is the electric bill, and a credit is how much you got in your bank account. Now, if the electric bill is $100 on the debit side, and if your bank account and the credit side is $90, you ain't got enough to pay the electric bill, and that's not too hard to figure out. But if you do have enough, if you got $110 on the credit side, then you pay the electric bill, and 100 of it cancels out the debit, so your debit is zero, and now your credit is 10. You got $10 left in your account. So most of us can figure that out. You don't have to be an accountant to figure that out. So when you talk about the debt that you and I have, we have a debt called sin. In fact, there's a great old song we used to sing. I have a debt I could not pay. He has a something. I can't remember the lyrics of it. I needed someone to take my sins away. And so we do have a debt. We have a sin debt. Jesus has the righteousness of God. And through the cross of Christ, because of our faith, the righteousness of God on the credit side was credited to my debt of sin and declared it paid in full. Woo! Come on, church. That's good news. Amen. My debt has been paid in full. Amen. And aren't you glad that the riches of God's grace is an account that's never going to go dry. Amen. The blood of Jesus Christ, it reaches from the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. The blood that cleanses us from sin, it will never lose its power. The riches of God's grace is unending. And so aren't you glad that even if you sin again, as long as your faith is in the cross of Christ, the blood of Christ, there is an endless credit of God's grace and mercy to pay the debt of sin. Woo! Come on, church. That's good news. Amen. I mean, that's the gospel. That's called good news, and that's why we shout. That's why we sing, because our eternal home is secure through the blood of Jesus Christ and the endless credits of God's grace and mercy. Amen. Acts 13:39, and by him all that believe, are you a believer this morning? All that believe are justified from some of the things. Oh no, that's not what it says, is it? By him, by Jesus Christ, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Now we know the law, you know, of Moses, there's no way, you know, you or I could, nobody could keep the law. And so we look at the Ten Commandments. Well, I haven't stole today. I haven't lied today. I haven't cheated today. You know, I haven't, oh, but I did that. Or I do, oh, no, well, yesterday I did that, you know. And so there's no way we can be justified by the law. But because we believe, we are believers in the covenant. We are believers in the grace of God through Jesus Christ, the blood of Christ. We are justified from all things from which we could not be justified by the law. So when the devil starts bringing guilt and condemnation on you because you blew it again, just look at him and say, excuse me, all things mean all things. And the devil said, what you talking about? Acts 13:39. All things mean all things. I've had people say to me, well, God could never forgive me for this one thing I did. All things mean all things. Amen. There is no sin so black. There is no crime so hideous. There is no murder, rape, incest, whatever it is. Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sin, all things. Amen. Praise God. So 1 Corinthians 6:11. And such were some of you, but you are washed. Say washed. Oh, come on. You guys can do better than that. Say washed. But you're sanctified. But you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Amen. I'm not justified in my own name. My name means nothing. I'm justified in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm justified. I'm washed. I'm sanctified and I'm justified. Justified means just as if I'd never done it. Amen. And when the devil comes to you and says, you done it, you say, I'm justified, just as if I'd never done it. Well, who do you think you are? I saw you do it. Well, I asked God to forgive me. Therefore, I'm justified. Well, how can you say that? You know what you did. But I have faith in the cross. And by my faith, it's accounted to me as righteousness. And so he's got an endless supply. And so I am justified by the blood of Jesus Christ and my faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's right. In Galatians 3:24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. Now, should have left that drumstick up here. I was going to do like a schoolmaster slapping someone's hand, you know, with a ruler. Sean was my example last week, but I'm not going to beat him up with a drumstick today. You'll just have to get the picture of it. Poor Sean. I love picking on my brother. So you get the idea. You know, the schoolmaster with the ruler, they whack the hand, right? And they'd whack the hand because the kid acted up. And you know, the schoolmaster, the law, the Mosaic law, the Ten Commandments, the thou shalt not, were constantly whacking our hands before we came to Jesus. And we had these sore knuckles, spiritually speaking, because we kept blowing it. And we'd feel guilty. And maybe someone invited us to church and we didn't want to go because we know we'd just be feeling guilty or more. I remember the first time I was invited to church before I got saved. You know, I was as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. You know, and you see those people shifting in the chairs. You know, oh, that guy's not saved. Look at the way he's moving around, right? And that's the law whacking his hand. It's painful. It's scary because you know that you can never please God. But when we hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that you don't have to please God, someone did it for you, amen, and then all you got to do is believe, then that brings us to Jesus Christ. Well, I can do that. I can believe in what Jesus did, amen. Praise the Lord. And so we're justified by that faith, amen. And so, you know, at the old church we had a poster. I don't know what happened to that. Remember that Shield of Faith poster that had Habakkuk 2:4? Behold, his soul is not lifted up in him, but the just shall live by faith. Amen. Now Habakkuk, you know, in this verse he says, his soul is lifted up, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. Now our soul is our mind and our will and our emotions. We said earlier when we were in Sunday school, we're talking about the battleground, our mind, right? Our mind, our will, and emotions are not upright. Aren't you glad people can't read your mail like Jesus did? You did what? Right? Thank God people can't read my mail. Amen? I thought you were supposed to be spiritual. I can't believe you did that, right? And so we know our soul, our mind, our will, and emotion, is not right with God. I mean, it's just not. We'll never be perfect. I'm not making excuses. We are flawed, all sin, and fall short of the glory of God. But we don't live by trying to do everything perfect. We live by faith. Amen? The just shall live by faith. This is the theme of the New Testament. It's the theme of the Apostle Paul. The just shall live by faith. Amen? So, going back to Abraham, Galatians tells us, Galatians 3:6, as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Woo! Amen? Father Abraham had many sons. How many of you guys ever sang that before? Many sons had Father Abraham. Come on, you guys never heard this? Surely. I mean, this is the kids' church song, and I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right arm. Remember that? And then you start doing the right arm. Father Abraham had many sons of Father Abraham, and I'm one of them, so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Left arm, Father Abraham had many sons. And you just got right leg, left leg, spin around. I almost fell over. I spin around. I was so dizzy one time doing that. But we are the children of Abraham because Abraham is the father of faith. He's the father of justification by faith. Amen. He taught us what justification by faith is all about. It's not about doing everything right. It's about having the audacity to believe God and take him at his word. And Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him, credited to his account as righteousness. And so every one of us who has the audacity to believe God against my own flawed weakness, against my own flesh, against my own inability to keep the commandments, every one of us who do that, who have that faith, are the children of Abraham, the children of faith. Amen. And so when God told Abraham, go out and look at the stars and go look at the sand, your children are going to be as much as the sand, as much as the stars. He wasn't talking about the Israelites in Israel today. He was talking about you and me. He's talking about a generation of people who have the audacity to take God at his word and believe God, and he counts them as righteous. That's the church of Jesus Christ. Amen. Man, this is good preaching, Brother Roger. Thank you. So, to have peace with God, we need to be overcoming Christians. To have the peace of God, you have to be like Father Abraham. It's not so much about doing everything right, it's about believing God. It's about just believing God. You have to be like Father Abraham to experience this overcoming power, this overcoming peace of God. Philippians 3:8 tells us, doubtless I count all things but a loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but of that which is through faith in Christ and the righteousness which is of God by faith. Amen. This is the whole formula for the New Testament. It's everything piled up top of this one simple premise. Have faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's all it comes down to. Amen. And Paul said, you know, I've suffered the loss of all things. You know, when he said that, keep in mind, he had a reputation. He was a highly educated Pharisee. He knew the law. He was a high ranks up in the synagogue. He had authority and power to go take letters to Damascus to have Christians put in prison. He was the man. And he lost all of that for Jesus. He walked away from his reputation. You ever know anybody that walked away from a big paying job because they got saved and didn't want to live in that kind of environment, you know? Maybe they went out and had to have cocktails every night with people, the smoking and the sinners, and maybe God convicted them. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about someone who's willing to walk away from notoriety because Jesus means more. Amen. And so he suffered the loss of all things, but then he talks about winning Christ, that I may win Christ. How do you win Christ? You have faith in what he did, and all that Jesus is comes into your life. Amen. When you say yes to Jesus Christ, you're saying yes to his death, yes to his burial, yes to his resurrection, yes to him coming again, yes to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You want it all. And he says that I may win Christ, that he come into me and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ and the righteousness which is from God by faith. And so, isn't that interesting? And this phrase is used more than once, the faith of Christ, that even the faith comes from Jesus. Isn't that cool? Even when I got saved and I said I believe, there was a little dose of faith tossed my way by the grace of God. It is the faith of Christ. You know, Paul wrote in Galatians, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It's Jesus' faith in me. Whew. He gets all the credit, doesn't he? Praise the Lord. And so all my sins, now just stop and think about this. I know it's up on the screen. All my sins, past, present, and future, were paid in full at the cross. Now, some people might say, well, Brother Roger, that sounds just like a license to sin. No, Paul addressed that in Romans 6. What should we do? Should we continue to sin? God forbid. But we know we are going to sin. It's not a license to sin, but we know we're going to blow it. I know what's going to happen tomorrow. I got a record of what happened yesterday. Right? I blew it yesterday. I blew it today. I may blow it tomorrow. I hope I don't, but I may. But the blood of Jesus Christ, the covenant doesn't end. You know, well, you're saved now. You got to be perfect. Well, I didn't have to be perfect to be saved. I don't have to be perfect to stay saved. I don't have to be perfect to live for Jesus. All I got to do is believe. It's all about believing. Amen? And so all my sins, past, present, and future, were paid in full at the cross. So now, I love this verse. I said we started out with our text, Romans 5:1, which starts out, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. So we said, what's the therefore for? It's chapter 4. And so these two verses here really, really speak of mountains. Abraham, being weak in faith, and being weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now, see that two words I have underlined there? Considered not. He considered not his own body. Now, how many of you ever had the devil point to your flaws and say, hey, consider this, right? And it's our job to tell the devil, I refuse to consider that. What do you mean you refuse to consider that? You did it. You put your hand in the cookie jar. I saw it. It was your hand. You were told not to put your hand in the cookie jar. You put your hand in the cookie jar and go ahead and consider that. I refuse to consider it. Now, Abraham, it was even a bigger thing. It was, you're 100 years old. There's no way you will have a baby. The God is lying to you. There's no way you'll have a baby. Or maybe you committed adultery, or maybe you cheated on your wife, or you cheated on your husband, and there's no way God could ever forgive that. That's a heinous sin. I'll get it right. And so how can you stand there and consider that? I refuse to consider it. I refuse. But you're a dirty, rotten sinner. But I refuse to consider it. He considered not his own body that was now dead, 100 years old, neither the deadness thereof, because he staggered not at the promise of God. Has everybody ever said something to you that just seems so out of the world, you just kind of step back and like, I don't know if I can buy that. You know, and some people stagger at the message of the cross. They say, oh, you know, you don't know what I've did. There's no way. This holy God could never forgive me. But Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded what he promised, he was able to perform. Did I conclude that? Oh, yeah, I got ahead of it. Fully persuaded, but well, let's not. Staggering not, okay. Staggering not means not being knocked off balance by the promise that is bigger than your sin, right? A promise that says you're going to walk on streets of gold. But yesterday I did this, and the devil reminded me of it. You're going to walk on streets of gold. But I feel like a dirty, rotten sinner. You don't know. No, don't stagger not at the promise of God. If God said you're going to walk on streets of gold, you're going to walk on streets of gold. If God said your sins are clean, your sins are clean. If God said your name is in heaven, your name is in heaven. Stagger not like Abraham at the promise of God. Just go ahead and believe it, amen? Just go ahead and take God at his word. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and then being fully persuaded that what he promised, he was able to perform. You know what? I think I'm just going to quit worrying about my weakness and start focusing on God's strength. I am fully persuaded that what he promised, he's able to perform. I'm fully persuaded that I'm going to walk on streets of gold. I'm fully persuaded that my name is written in heaven. I'm fully persuaded that I am an overcomer. I'm fully persuaded that I am a child of God. I'm fully persuaded that my sins are gone. I'm fully persuaded that God loves me just as I am. I am fully persuaded that what he promised, he is mighty able to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Whew. Man. I think I'll just preach the same sermon for 6 weeks. Is that all right with you guys? I mean, could you ever not get tired of hearing this? This is so good. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what the church was founded on. This is what kept the church going for 2,000 years. It's not about works. It's not about trying to make everything right. It's about the glorious grace of God and our faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Praise God. So, back to our text. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we started out talking about peace. We talked about what's going on in the world and all of the fear-mongering going on over the virus. We talked about how even as Christians, we can at times maybe feel fearful. But how do we do this? How do we do life in the 21st century? How do we do life as Christians in the year 2020 amongst all of this stuff going on? We remember that we are justified by faith. We have the faith of Father Abraham. We believe God. We take him at his word. We don't stagger at this tremendous promise. We look at the world and we say, well, you know what? It's okay. You guys can be fearful. I'm going to be walking on streets of gold. Well, it's okay. You guys can worry. I'm not worried. God is in control. You look at the world around you and you hear these things going on and you wonder about the election. You know what? I'm not out to elect another president. I'm out to see Jesus. Amen. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't vote. You should. But you know what? I'm not putting all my hope in who wins in 2020 in November. I'm putting my hope in the bedrock of God's word. I'm going to be walking on streets of gold. I'm justified by faith. I'm a child of Father Abraham, and I have the peace of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I have the peace of God. Amen. Let's all stand. Now, if you're here this morning and maybe you're going through something, I'm not here to diminish you or say that, you know, you're a sinner because you're worried or you're having trouble having faith. I just want to pray for you. Amen. I want to pray for you watching by Facebook this morning. Maybe you're fearful. Maybe you're going through something. But I've got good news. You don't have to be afraid. Amen. This same Jesus that we preach, this same gospel we preach, it works in Calcutta. It works in New York City. It works in outer Mongolia. It works in everywhere, and it'll work right where you're at. You don't have to be in Faith Fellowship, the building. You don't have to even go to church because Jesus can come to you. Amen. He can come to you. This same Jesus that we're preaching, his blood is enough to wash your sins and to cleanse you and to give you peace. And so this morning, as we're wrapping this thing up, I just want to take a minute to pray, and I want to ask everybody that's here in the congregation and those that are watching by Facebook, I just want to ask you to just pray to yourself as I pray. Pray to the Lord to yourself as I pray, and ask God to search your heart. And if you have not had the Abrahamic kind of faith, the faith that staggers not at the promise of God, if you the devil has knocked you off balance because of your own weaknesses, your own frailty, then you need to repent, because a Christian staggers not at the promise of God. And again, I'm not condemning you. We've all done it. We've all listened to the lies. But this message is for all of us, myself included, that we would not stagger at the promises of God, but be strong in faith, giving glory to God, knowing that what he promised, he is able to perform. Let's pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we come to you and we ask you to examine our hearts, Lord. Maybe there was a time when we believed, but lately we've not really been believing. Maybe we've staggered at the promises of God. Maybe we've doubted God's love or God's ability to see us through. Maybe our own weaknesses has eclipsed God's goodness. And we've looked at our own flesh, as Abraham could have looked at his own deadness of his flesh in Sarah's womb. But Lord, we ask you to forgive us right now for our unbelief. We know that unbelief is sin, and it's not a part of the child of God. So we're sorry. Lord, forgive us. And now, Lord, we ask right now in Jesus' name that you inoculate us with Father Abraham's faith, that no longer will we stagger at the promises of God through unbelief. No longer will we consider our flesh the way we have before, the way Abraham considered not his flesh or Sarah's flesh. Lord, we will no longer consider the flesh. We know you want us to walk in holiness. We know you want us to walk in truth. But Lord, we're no longer going to live the way the devil wants us to live, under his thumb of condemnation. We will consider not our flesh, but Lord, we're going to be like Father Abraham. We're going to be strong in faith, staggering not at the promise of God through unbelief. Therefore, being justified by faith, we will have peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we will have the peace of God. One more time, say it with me. Therefore, being justified by faith, we will have the peace of God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.